Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Wow. We're going straight to Luke chapter 22. And it's been an amazing journey thus far. We've learned from Luke chapter 1 to chapter 22. And we've seen so many things that we can learn from every chapter of the Bible. You know, I had to listen to yesterday's podcast again. And it blessed me. It blessed me. So if you're probably not listening to yesterday's podcast, I would encourage you to go back to it, listen, and I pray that the Lord bless you as you do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right. So Luke chapter 22 verse 1. At the feast of the unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, the chief priests and the scribes sought out they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. So they were looking for a way to kill Jesus in a way that the people will not know, because they were afraid of the people. You see, the Pharisees, everything about the Pharisees is people, people, people. What would people say? What would people do? If I do this thing, what would people say? They are always conscious of what people will say. So it is not about what God wants. It is not about how God feels. It is about how people feel. This is the mark of Pharisees. So how do you know if you're already falling into the danger of being a Pharisee when you are too conscious of what people will say? And that's like you building ego for yourself. You are so egoistic that everything you do is focused on what people will think about you. And that's one thing I want us to be very careful of as believers. As long as you want to, you know, build a good reputation amongst people, be also careful that you are not too concerned about people so much that you begin to disobey God. Like these guys, what they were going to do was actually wrong anyways, but then they were still very much conscious about people. Verse 3 says, then Satan entered Judas. Please, let us stop saying that Judas was bound or has been predestined to, you know, betray Jesus. I mean, what kind of image of God is in our heads? What kind of image of God do we have in our heads? Do we think God is like our dad? Even your own dad, my dad, as good as my dad was when he was alive, he could never, you know, predestine someone and say, this son of mine, no, I am going to make sure he enters, you know, into hell. I'm going to make sure this son of mine live a life of destruction. I am marking this child for destruction. Do you think your dad can ever do that? Just separate one of your siblings and say, this person is marked for destruction. That's not the kind of God I serve. The intention of God for Judas was never to become a betrayer. The scripture says here in verse 3, then Satan entered Judas. He entered Judas. So Judas was the one that opened the space for the devil to come in. So this tells me that, see, be careful. Bible says, let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall. When I say be careful, we are not even good enough to keep ourselves. But be careful of those little signs that you are seeing. Some of those signs are, you know, sometimes you just see that you can't just stop lying anymore. I mean, every single day of your life, not even days, every hour, your words, there is a lie there. Even when you are sharing testimony in church, you will still add to it. You will still lie. These are signs that are already giving you, God is already giving you signs that you are derailing, you are falling. Judas has been seeing the signs from the very first day he was called to be a disciple. I mean, he was the one keeping the money. And then he had been stealing from Jesus' purse. He had been a very greedy guy right from time. He had been a covetous person. So those signs were there all along. But he didn't take note of those signs. He could have cried out to Jesus. I mean, this guy had Jesus right around him almost every single day. All he could have just probably done was to have called Jesus for help. Please save me, help me, before Satan gets the full hold of me. So you still have time now to cry before Satan gets the full hold. And when Satan gets the full hold of you, that's the end. You see the way he finished Judas. Huh? If, do you know Judas could have still repented even after selling Jesus? But devil had entered him so much that he didn't want to give Judas any chance to repent. He destroyed Judas completely. So before you allow that sin to destroy you, you know you slept with that sister. You slept with that sister once. You have done it only once in the last 4 months. But you just see that every single time there is a temptation to go back. And you went back. You've been doing it. There's a sign. These are signals that the devil is already taking note of you. The best thing for you to do now is to retrace your step before devil completely takes hold of your life. And by the time the devil takes complete hold, full hold, that is the end. You know the illustration my pastor usually gave me when I was in secondary school? He would say that when you commit a little sin, the devil will come, open a small hole. When you commit another one, he will enlarge the hole a bit. Commit another one, enlarge until he finds his way. So be careful. I know God is resident on your inside. I understand the message of grace. I understand that God said he will never leave you. But do you know what God says? The Bible says God said that draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So God will never leave you. But you can decide to leave God where he is and then you leave him alone. And say, no, I don't want to follow God anymore. So God is here all along waiting for you. He is not the kind of person that will force himself into your heart. And he's not the kind of person that will force himself to remain in your heart. You can decide not to want God anymore. Even though God is still there to help you, to keep you from falling. But if you keep turning deaf ears to his nudges, if you keep turning deaf ears to his words, to his instructions, very soon you will see that you will begin to derail. And then at the end of the day, the devil will now have a complete foothold. So be careful. Listen to those little nudges. Listen to those little instructions. Stop doing that thing. That little sin that you are committing that you call little. Before you know it, it will grow big. And then it will take the whole of your life. So be careful. Be careful. Trust the Lord to help you. And my prayer is that the Lord will give us the grace to stand in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we see the Passover, the bread, the wine. It's a very long one. You can go in your private places to read. But there's something I want us to pick. Verse 24. Now there was a dispute among them as to which of them would be considered the greatest. And he said to them, you know, these guys were thinking Jesus Christ was talking about his death and resurrection. You know, do you know how painful it would be? I don't know. Jesus Christ was so loving. Do you know how painful it would be if I told my children that I would be dying tomorrow? And the next thing they are saying is, Daddy, so who is going to be the owner of the land that you bought in this particular area? They were talking about who was going to be the greatest when Jesus dies. This is everything that is in the head of these guys. And before you judge the disciples, isn't this the same thing that is in our head too? How we want to become so mighty on earth. You know, every time they talk about Jesus coming soon, the first thing you're thinking about is, I need to enjoy this earth before Jesus comes. And then you begin to find, you know, assets, begin to build investment for yourselves. You know, at the end of the day, all of these things, like I said yesterday, they are only temporary. So the encouragement to us is simple. Jesus makes it very clear that if you want to be great, you must be, you know, the smallest. You must come down. You must really, 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 really come down. If you are trusting God for greatness, the best way to become great in life is to stay humble. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, and in due time, in due season, it will exalt you. You know, that's exactly what killed Peter. He was so full of himself. He felt he could do it. He knew in his heart, he felt there was no way he could deny Jesus Christ. He was so strong in his flesh. I mean, he had that strength in him that there's no way I would ever deny Jesus Christ. You know, he was trusting in the arm of flesh. He was trusting in his own strength. And we should never at any point in our life. And how do I know if you are trusting your strength? When you do not pray for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The best way to overcome the challenges of this world, the temptation of this world, is that every single time, pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Pray that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost every single time. The only way we are going to overcome sin, overcome temptation, is not by the observance of the law. I mean, strict observance of the law. You trying your best to observe the law. It is by you being filled with the Holy Ghost. Then when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it will give you the power, the grace, the strength to overcome sin. So I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, Peter denied Jesus Christ. And then we see the prayer in the garden. Jesus kept on praying. He persisted in the place of prayer, asking that the Lord's will of the Lord will be done. So persistence in prayer is not wrong. I mean, Jesus Christ repeated the prayer 3 times. He kept on praying and said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Verse 42. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the Bible says, an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Our concern, our aim should be that the will of God should be done in our lives. Do you think your will makes sense? What is your will? If I ask you to write all your will, everything you want in your life on a paper, everything you want in your life, at the end of the day, there are things that will eventually perish. What do you want? You want cars? You want houses? Is that what you want? Or you want to become an engineer? I personally think that the will of God, if you can surrender to the will of God, that is the best thing that can happen to any man. The will of God for our life. So our outcry should always be that, Lord, let your will be done. Unfortunately, the disciples were sleeping when Jesus was praying. And I like saying something here. Jesus Christ told them, he said, why do you sleep? Rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You see, I said it the other time. The easiest way to overcome temptation is to pray. And what do you pray for? The infilling, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the strength of the Holy Ghost. Pray for strength. Jesus Christ here has already been anointed. How that Jesus Christ was anointed with power and the Holy Ghost, that he went about doing good, healing the sick and, you know, healing those who are oppressed of the devil. He had already been anointed, yet the Bible says the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him the more. So no matter the amount of Holy Ghost you received, of course, there is no amount of Holy Ghost. We all received the Holy Ghost when we gave our life to Christ. But we need infilling of the Holy Ghost, strength. That's like you saying you want the Holy Ghost to strengthen you daily, daily, to be able to overcome the temptations of this world. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Finally, Judas betrayed Jesus. When they saw Jesus Christ, they couldn't even recognize him. They had to ask, we need to show us this man. So Judas had to show them Jesus with a kiss. I mean, Jesus was more like the disciples. You know, some of you, they give you the opportunity to become a leader. Since the day they made you the class captain, you started wearing tie and suit to class, just so you want to look different. Is there anything wrong with wearing suit and tie? There's nothing wrong with it. But the intention why you are wearing that thing is because you want to look different. You want to look better and bigger than others. Be careful not to try to appear as though you are the greatest. Actually, the best thing you should be doing as a believer is to be like every other person. Jesus Christ was like the disciples. I mean, every time they saw Jesus and the disciples, it was always difficult for them to decipher if this was Jesus or the disciples. They were more like the same. I mean, Jesus Christ wore exactly what they were wearing. He wasn't wearing something really, 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 really different just so that he might look different from them. You know, he was a man full of humility. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. We see that Peter finally denied Jesus Christ, but we thank God for that grace. He repented. So no matter how far down, how far you have gone, you can always come back to Jesus. He is willing to embrace you. Every single time you come back to him, he is willing to embrace you. Don't be like Judas. Be like Peter. I pray the Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. Finally, we see that Jesus Christ began to appear before these guys. He was mocked. He was beaten. Whatever Jesus Christ went through, he went through all of those things for your sake. You know what I like to tell people? Jesus Christ did not just die for the whole world. He died for you. I mean, if you were the only person that existed in the whole world when Jesus Christ died, he could still have died for you. Even if you were the only person in the whole world, the only person, Jesus would still have died. So every time you want to remember the death of Jesus Christ and the way he was flogged, beaten, bruised, stop thinking he died for everybody. You know, it will make it look like, yeah, it was worth it. You know, he died just for you. He died that you might be saved. And then don't waste that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. So peradventure, you're just listening to this podcast and you have not given your life to Christ. This is your best chance. You don't want to continue your life like that. You know, embrace Jesus. And even if you have given your life to Christ, just join me and say these words and say, Father, give me that grace. Give me that strength to love you the more. Give me that grace never to go back. Help me to remain in you. Help me to remain steadfast. Help me. I take you into my heart completely. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I confess you with my mouth that you are my Savior. And I believe in my heart that you died and you rose for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for coming out of the grave and for giving me victory. Blessed be your name, Lord. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. I celebrate you. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now. Hallelujah.